Jews which believed on him. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. May the Lord challenge our thinking with the reading of his word. Let's go to him in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we look into this passage this morning, open our minds that we might understand the scripture. May we see wondrous things. May you challenge our hearts. May you do a work in our hearts. You know the need of every person here this morning. And so I pray that as we look into your word, that like a hammer, it would break the rock of our hearts in pieces. Like a mirror, it would reveal who we are. Like a lamp, that it would show us the way wherein we should walk. We pray your blessing, the convicting power of your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As we look here at John chapter 8, a lot of talk is in this passage about fathers and children. Of course, the big claim here is that Abraham is our father. Here's an interesting thing that I know we've all thought about at one time. Every person since Adam and Eve has had a father. No exceptions. As much as people today would like to do away with the existence of fathers and perhaps even decry fathers and husbands, they can't do away with them. Even those people who don't like the idea have a father. May not have been a good father, but it doesn't deny the existence of a father and the necessity for a father. Many of our physical features can be explained by our fathers. In some cases, you have to apologize. I apologize for my kids. But sometimes you can see, like father, like son. Just as we all have a fleshly father, every person alive today has a spiritual father. There are two ways, two places after death, heaven or hell. There's two fathers, God or the devil. Did you know that your spiritual features can be explained by identifying your father? It is a lie of the devil to teach the universal fatherhood of God. As in, well, we are all just God's children. The next time you hear of somebody saying that, would you think of this passage? Because for you to say that you are God's child is to say that he is your father. And the children of God will do what their father does. The children of the devil will do what their father does. Children will be like their father. For unbelievers today, their father is not who they think he is. Many of them say, we're the children of God. Jesus very bluntly and firmly says, you are of your father, the devil. He does not mince words. And for mere professing believers, their father is not who they think he is. Remember who Jesus is talking to here? Go back with me to verses 30 and 31. Verse 30, it says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Here are professing believers. Just because you say you're a Christian does not mean you're a Christian. Just because you say you're a follower of Jesus Christ does not make you one. These people said, we believe on him. And then Jesus is saying, you are of your father, the devil. Indicating these people truly did not believe in him for salvation. So the question is, well, how do you identify your spiritual father? Four things for us to contemplate. In verses 33 to 36, contemplate who your Lord is. Jesus says in verse 34, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. If you are a practicing sinner, I mean, if that's what you habitually do and you're not convicted about it, and it is something that is known for you in your life, you may not claim God as your father. You are a slave to sin. Sin is your Lord. Your spiritual father is not God the Father if you are a slave to sin. Secondly, this morning I'd like you to contemplate your labor. And this is the point I'd like to cover in this morning's message. Your labor. Verses 37 to the first part of verse 41. Jesus is saying in these verses that people will know who your Father is by what you do. Your labor, your deeds. So who is your spiritual father? Your father is not God the Father if your labors are opposite or contrary or opposed to what God is doing. The fact that a son's work is like that of his father is a result of two things. First of all, consider the word intimacy. A son's work is like that of his father because he is intimate with his father. Jesus knows, he says in verse 37, I know that ye are Abraham's seed. He knows that they are the physical descendants of Abraham. But natural birth does not automatically make you a spiritual descendant. There are multitudes of so-called Christians exactly like these Jews. They belong to a church because my parents did. My grandparents did. I would never leave this church because this is where my parents went. This is where my time goes way back. My great-grandfather was a charter member of this church. And they falsely think they have a special relationship with God because of a genealogy. No more so than these Jews here who are claiming Abraham to their father. Natural birth into a Christian family does not automatically make you a Christian. You may be a descendant of Dwight L. Moody this morning. You know what we used to do when we were kids? Whoop-de-doo. You may be a descendant of Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers. Whoop-de-doo. So who are you? Jesus said you must be born again. It doesn't matter who you are related to by natural birth. Spiritually, who are you related to? Jesus acknowledges that these people are the physical descendants of Abraham. And then he accuses them of desiring to do what Abraham, their physical father, would never do. Kill him. He says, you're trying to kill me. Your father, by race, Abraham, would not do that. He points us out in a couple of verses. Verse 37, ye seek to kill me. And then again in verse 40, ye seek to kill me. I have told you the truth. I've heard it from God. Ye seek to kill me. This did not Abraham. Abraham never sought to kill me. Now, you're automatically thinking, of course Abraham didn't seek to kill him because Jesus wasn't alive in his time. Wait a second. How many times do we see the deity of Christ? I mean, just if you want to say subliminally, go ahead. But everywhere you see it, Jesus identifies himself as always existing. Here we are this next month celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. It's his incarnation. It's not the beginning of his life. It is simply the fact that he came to this earth from heaven, from God. He has always existed. The very one that Abraham joyfully anticipated. Look at verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. These people are seeking to kill Jesus. He knew very early on that they were trying to kill him. There are over 1 billion people in the world just like these Jews. Over 1 billion. They boast that they are the physical descendants of Abraham. But they want to kill you. Who am I talking about? Are you scared to say? So many people today are scared to say it. Who am I talking about? Islam. They claim to be the descendants of Abraham and they have much pride in it. And yet one of the tenets of their religion is to kill Christians and to even kill the Jews. So I'm saying that this whole ideology is alive and well today, just like it was in the day of Christ. They sought to kill him and now they seek to kill you because you are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ if you're truly a Christian. Why do they want to kill him here? And why do they want to kill you and me today? Well, what's the reason Jesus gives? I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because. Now, what does he say? What's the reason? My word hath no place in you. Because my word hath no place in you. You remember the story when the men were trying to bring this lame man to Jesus? They got to the house and the house was full. So children, what did they do? What did these men do? They had this man on this stretcher, so to speak. Remember, they went to the roof. They cut a hole in the roof. And they let the man down in front of Jesus. Remember that story? It's found in Mark chapter 2. And here it says, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. So it's describing the scene as these men bring this lame man, and it says there was no room. That is the same phrase that you see here in verse 37. Because my word hath no room in you. It has no place in you. In other words, there's many distractions. Things of your father with whom you are intimate that disallows room for God. Let me ask you, what is it in today's world, in people's hearts and in their minds, that crowds out anything for the Word of God? Many things. There's a hymn written entitled, Have You Any Room for Jesus? It goes like this in the first verse. Have you any room for Jesus? he who bore your load of sin, to ask submission, sinner? Will you let him in? Verse 2, room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. No room for Jesus, no room for his word. If you are intimate with God the Father, you will listen to what he says. His word. And yet he very plainly tells these Jews, you're trying to kill me because my word has no room. You have no room in your heart for my word. You know what a child does when he doesn't want to hear what you're saying? He covers his ears and goes, la, 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 la. He speaks out loud so that you can't hear anything that he's saying. That is really the idea here. I have no room. I have no place for what you're saying. You could almost picture these Jews as all standing around going, la, 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 loudly. I don't want to hear what you're saying. Your word has no room in my heart. These people were closed-minded. Ironically, the people who are the most closed-minded today are the ones who brag about being open-minded. And yet, what is it that they will not allow? What is not allowed in any debate today? In fact, what is not allowed in courtrooms? Anywhere, government. It's the Word of God. It goes on today, folks. The most closed-minded, bigoted, prejudiced, biased people are those who brag of being open-minded. In academia, at UNC, at CU, at Northridge High School. Name the public school. In the media, in the government, they'll listen to every perverse, stupid, idiotic source, but do not quote the Bible. It's not allowed for debate. There's no room for it. Don't quote the Bible to me. They may even call themselves descendants of Abraham and call him their father, but their father is the devil. Verse 44. No room for the truth, because the devil has no room for the truth. He's a liar. Another interesting verse that gives us an idea of what Jesus is saying here in verse 37 when he says, my word hath no place in you. The same word is used in Matthew 15:17. I'll read it to you. Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? You say, where is that there in that passage? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly? The same phrase, no place in you, in John 8:37, is the word belly in Matthew 15:17. When you eat your food, your belly makes room for it. But men today are like a baby who turns his head away from eating. All parents have this experience. You're feeding your child. He doesn't like it, and so it just comes right back out. Turns his head away when you put that cream of broccoli or whatever up to his mouth. No room for it. Hey, he's got room in the belly. He has no room in his heart. And these people will have nothing to do with what Jesus is saying. What is true about these professing believers? Not only are they not continuing in his word, verse 31, they won't even give room to it. They won't even consider it. Close-minded. In verse 38, Jesus gives the source of his word that they will not give place to. He says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father. So what he is saying is from God the Father. I find it interesting, though. You would expect them to say, which I have heard from my Father. Look at that in verse 30. I speak that which I have seen with my Father. Wait a second. Don't you normally speak what you hear? Jesus says, I speak what I have seen. Now, in other places, he says, I speak what I have heard. But right here, he says, I speak what I have seen. That arrested my attention. What is he talking about? How do you speak what you have seen? Unless you were there. Again, we see the fact that Jesus Christ is God. That he has seen with his Father. In fact, the word with there is an interesting word. It means alongside of. Jesus is saying, I speak what I have seen alongside of my Father. All throughout eternity, he has been with God the Father in his preexistence. And he says exactly what he sees. That is intimacy. A close relationship. Not only speaking what he has heard from his Father, but speaking what he has seen with him. Therefore, he sees things just like God the Father sees them, because they are one and the same. Notice what he says there in verse 38. Basically, he's saying, your Father and my Father are not the same. You do what you hear from your Father, and I speak what I see. In fact, the same word with is used for them with their Father. Jesus is saying that he is intimate with his Father. I speak what I have seen alongside my Father, and ye do what you have seen alongside your Father. That's why your labor is due to your intimacy with your Father. You do the same things. That's the point Jesus is stressing. Now, verses 39 to 41, the fact that a son's work is like that of his father is a result of not only intimacy, but imitation. Question. If an observer was told to guess your religion by what you do, who you imitate, with what religion would he label you? I wish I could present some possible scenarios here. Let's think of every time I see a rock singer on stage with, you know, the long greasy hair and just everything about them. If I were to judge him by that, and I would say, and if somebody were to say, come in, and who do you think his father is? Would it be God the Father, or would it be somebody else? By observation, what would you say? I would say, well, that's surely not God the Father. I mean, it's satanic. Whoa, I think you've hit on something there. Think of a politician. Think of a politician who endorses and encourages immorality, the killing of children, stealing from people. Whose father does he look like? I mean, who does he look like? God the Father, who says, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. In answer to Jesus' statement in the last part of verse 38, they reply again in verse 39, Abraham is our father. In every sense now, not just physically, but even spiritually, Abraham is our father. Perhaps Paul is thinking of this very passage when in Romans 4:11, he writes this, that Abraham is the father of all them that believe. And again, Paul draws the distinction in Romans 9, 7 and 8 when he says, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. Just because you're the seed of Abraham does not mean you're Abraham's children. I made the point a couple of weeks ago that all of us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior, who by faith are trusting in Jesus Christ for our salvation, we are the children of Abraham. Spiritually, I may not be so by race, but spiritually I am a child of Abraham. Jesus responds with the last part of verse 39. If you were Abraham's children, if that were true what you said, you would do what Abraham does. You would do the works of Abraham. Now we know from Genesis 26:5 that this was true of Abraham. Abraham obeyed my voice, God said, and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. That's what was true of Abraham. Children will carry on many times the work of their father. Can you think of any businesses here in Greeley where the children have carried on the work of their father? As I was thinking about this, I thought of Florio's shoes, Florsheim shoes. How many are familiar with Florio's? Okay, I think it's the third generation of children carrying on the work of grandfather, maybe great-grandfather, I don't remember. But for years, they're carrying on his work. I'm not promoting his businesses. I just went through to the internet to find out, okay, who, are there any other and Sons here in Greeley? There's JL and Sons Construction. There's Meyer and Sons Electric Company. The point I'm trying to make is this. Many times children will carry on the work of their father. And it's a compliment to the father that the sons carry on the business of their dad. Thinking of that, go to verse 40. Jesus says, but ye seek to kill me. And then the middle part of verse 40 is parenthetical. A man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. In seeking to kill him, he says in verse 40, you are not doing what Abraham did, who you claim is your father. You are not carrying on the business of your father. This did not Abraham is a pointed comparison. You are not like your father Abraham. Physically, yes. Spiritually, no. You are nothing like him. There's no resemblance at all. He is not your spiritual father. Verse 41, you are doing the works of your father. You are carrying on his business. Jesus has not yet named their father, but they know he is saying it is not Abraham. In other words, it's not Abraham and Sons Incorporated. The fact that they are in the business, in the labor of resisting the one God has sent, reveals that their father is in the same business they are. They are carrying on the business of their father. Who wants to kill Jesus? Satan does. And so do they. There's a worldwide business today called Satan and Sons. If you want to put it that way. The world is carrying on the business of their father. They oppose Jesus Christ. They oppose anything Christian. Well, you say this morning, well, I'm neutral. I may not be involved in doing the work of God, but I'll tell you this. I am neither involved in doing the work of the devil. I've got a verse for you. Jesus said, he that is not with me, he's against me. You cannot be neutral. There is no room for a moderate, a fence rider. If you are not with him, you are against him. You say, I don't give money to those things that advance the cause of Satan. Well, let me ask you this. Do you give your money to those things that advance the cause of God? Missions. Every time you hear of someone resisting Jesus Christ, resisting his word, resisting his church, he is in the same business as his father. And you can rightly think of him as employed by Satan and Sons Incorporated. Every time you vote for a politician whose labor, deeds oppose Jesus Christ, you are supporting Satan and Sons. Here we are in poor economic times, and people are concerned about people being unemployed. But when it comes right down to it, no one is unemployed. Everyone is employed by their father because they do the same work. A man's works will reveal his father. You can talk all you want about who your father is, but your actions speak louder. Your deeds, your works do not save you, but those works, your deeds, your labors provide evidence as to who you are intimate with and who you seek to imitate. James, in chapter 2 of his epistle, makes it very clear that your faith, if you truly have faith, it will be evidenced by your works. And then he gives an example from the Old Testament. And what is the example? Who is the man he presents as an example? Abraham. Jesus is saying that people will know you. They will know who your father is by what you do. And so the question I ask again this morning is this: who is your spiritual father? You say, God is my father. When I pray our Father which art in heaven. I don't care if you pray that or not. The devil can pray that. You believe that there is one God, the devils also believe and they tremble, James 2:19. The question is this: is God really your Father? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Who is your spiritual father? Your spiritual father is not God the Father if what you do is opposite. Well, praise God. If I'm a believer, if I'm truly a Christian, I make room for God's word. There's room. I accept it. I believe it. I continue in it. And I do the works of Him. Even as Jesus did the works of Him who sent Him, we do the works of Him who sent us. Let's pray.